Hello and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Dislike, the podcast where we talk about those things that we just really don't like, those things that get on our nerves. And I'm Daniel Horden. This week I'm joined as always by Molly Rowe, Anna Pavlova and Robert Walton. And this week we're going to be talking about phrases and just things that people say that just really sort of grind your teeth, that just really annoy you.
Hi, yeah, so we are living in unprecedented times. It's just true, I guess, but it is the worst, hands down, the worst phrase I have ever heard in my life. I'm sick of it. It's a word that we never used before this whole lockdown situation that we're going through, and I just don't get it. I don't understand why we have to say it all the time. It's like my top one, I guess.
It's like it doesn't really mean anything anymore. Like, everything that's happened for the last year has all been unprecedented. Like, what's precedented now? No one ever says either, do they? No one goes, oh, that's really precedented.
It's just one of those words that we seem to have taken in our stride, and doesn't make any sense to me anymore. It made sense, obviously, when it started. It was also a word I'd never heard of until everyone started using it. I don't know if that's the same for any of you lot.
It is the same thing. And to be fair, I've heard the word so many times, I don't really pay attention to it anymore, because it might be unprecedented times, but it's a time that we've actually got used to eventually, that it's almost a new normality that we've got to adjust to. So
yeah, I agree. It all just blows over your head, which I guess is another phrase. It just blows over your head. But yeah, it doesn't really make a difference to my life anymore, that phrase.
My mum is with all of you. She absolutely hates that as well. Every time it's on the telly, she's like, I'm sick of people saying that things are unprecedented. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, it's just a stupid sort of little term at this point, and I'm absolutely sick of it. But I think there's other sort of corona-related sayings that are just bothering people. Like, have any of you lot got any?
Yeah, I've got one which is totally up there. So sort of picture the scene. It's kind of, I don't know, you bump into a friend when you're out on your socially distanced walk. Oh, I've just done it myself. You bump into a friend when you're out on a walk, or like you're doing a Zoom call and you're like, oh yeah, the other day I went for a walk, socially distanced, of course. And it's just like this stupid, like, we all realise that you have to socially distance. Why do I have to put this little sort of sentence on the end of everything that we're saying, just to be like, oh yeah, I was socially distancing, don't worry everyone. That really drives us insane.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, people are really trying to make sure that they're, like, following the rules. So they use the word social distance just to make sure that you're aware, like, oh, yeah, we're walking, like, far apart each other, you know, we're following the rules, stuff like that. But it's just a word that's been used all the time. You see it everywhere in the shops, all over. Social distance, stay 2 meters. Oh, that 2 meter rule. And then, like, I remember the controversy of when it was, you know, either 1.5 meters or 2 meters. It was, people weren't sure. And then social distance as well, it's just, it is a very now used, it's like part of our vocabulary now. Everything has to be socially distanced and all like that.
I think if you have to say that it was socially distanced, of course, then you probably weren't. So, like, in this day and age, in the day that we record this podcast, it's sort of implied that everything you do at the moment is socially distanced. And if you have to say, oh, I went on a walk, socially distanced, of course, then you probably weren't very socially distant. And I find that it's always the ones that are sort of, you know, on your back, that are sort of, oh, I was socially distant. No, you weren't. You were about half a foot away from me.
It's kind of like the Corona times version of, like, starting a sentence with no offence.
Yeah.
It's like you're about to offend someone, but then you say no offence. Like, that's another stupid one, to be fair. Like, that doesn't mean anything. But yeah, it is. It's like you think everyone's the Corona police and you need to make sure that you're just kind of proving yourself that you know what the rules are. It's just a bit of a stupid one.
Yeah,
definitely.
This was like a phrase that was used, I think, when I was in high school, like when we all were in high school, on fleek and on point. What do we think of that?
Thrown up in my mouth.
It's not something I would use in sort of day-to-day life anymore, but I can, sitting here now, not being in high school, can almost appreciate how vintage of a meme that is, because it just feels old now. Like, the kids these days are saying weirder things. I wouldn't say it. I find it quite cringy, but it is almost nostalgic to hear.
Yeah, it was like a part of our childhood in a sense, but I mean, as a lad, like, I'm never saying, oh, my eyebrows are on fleek, my eyelashes are on fleek. So anytime I hear like a girl say that, I'd just be immediately turned off and be like, I don't care about your eyelashes. But yeah, that one, no, definitely not.
I feel like I've used it before, but like ironically.
Yeah.
Just like to kind of have a laugh at the phrase. But I think there's like other phrases from high school as well. Because I mean, obviously being a Daniel, I remember sort of maybe it was, yeah, 9 or 10 when the whole damn Daniel thing went around. That just made my life misery for a year.
I find one that has stood the test of time. This is, I mean, phrases, I don't particularly like it, but, and we're on phrases that we dislike, but one that seems to have stood the test of time for me is yeet, as a meme that people say unironically. My 6-year-old sister watches these god-awful YouTubers. I'm not going to name them, you know, in case we get sued. Watches these god-awful YouTubers who use yeet constantly. And she uses it constantly. And it just seemed, that seems to be an age ago for me, but it's still here.
I think I'd throw something at my laptop if I was watching a YouTube video and someone said yeet. I think I would probably just, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah,
You'd yeet something at your laptop.
Yeah, I mean, my little brother as well, he used to use that word all the time. Like, anytime he would throw something at me, anytime he would throw something towards me for me to catch, it's just that word yeet. And it's such a weird word. Every time you say it, the more, like, you think, wow, this is such a weird word. Why did people use this word? Why was it so commonly used?
I quite like it. It's the timeless meme. Just throw something, a yeet! Hit someone in the back of the head with like a massive ball or something.
Thanks,
and then
Rob.
Like just dance on them.
Yeah. I also had one that I think a lot of people hear at work. Maybe, I don't know if you guys heard it or something, or you sometimes hear it like in a common conversation. Throw them under the bus. What a phrase that is, I think.
I've never really sat and thought about it, but it is an odd one. I see sort of your point. That's quite a harsh punishment for just sort of
it's very negative, I would say. Like, you know, when you think of throw them under the bus, you know, it's like you've betrayed someone. I think that's mainly what people use it for, when you've done something behind their back, you know, you threw them under the bus. And it's just such an aggressive type of word, I think.
You know what, this might be controversial, but I think I quite like that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
You know exactly what it's saying, because I feel like that's sometimes the problem with these stupid phrases. But like throwing someone under the bus, you can't get confused about what that means. Or stabbing someone in the back, like they're both quite.
They both
quite good
mean
ones.
The same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think one of them, I think to sit on the fence on this one, I think both of them are sort of, you know what they mean, but like logically, stabbing someone in the back makes more sense in terms of your actions than throwing. So, like, if you stab someone in the back, you've come up behind them and you've betrayed them, so you've stabbed them in the back. Throwing them under the bus is just sort of psychotic.
Actually,
so it doesn't seem to convey the right action to me, whereas I think stabbing in the back is probably a more logically correct one for me.
I think the bus is more funny. It's better than saying, like, oh, you've betrayed me. It's like, you've thrown us under the bus. How could you do this? And then throw them under the bus, you know. I think it's a lot better than just, I feel betrayed. You got it? That's why people say stuff like that. It's because I think it has a better impact saying something in a weird phrase than just saying, I feel betrayed.
Yeah. I did say that I liked it, but now I'm thinking about it. How do you throw someone under a bus? Like, shouldn't you be pushed them in front of the bus?
Depends on how small they are. You pick them up. Rugby throw.
Unless you're throwing a baby under the bus. I don't know how that would go down.
God.
Well, that's
a turn. This is a dark turn. This is a dark turn.
See, one that bothered me, my second one, was it's specifically American. We do not use this in this country. We use I couldn't care less. Americans use I could care less. What does that mean? If you could care less, then care less.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's almost like they just copied it and tried to make it American by just changing one word.
There is no impact in I could care in I couldn't care less. You know, that's very like, it's a dig, you know? It's like, oh, you mean absolutely, this means absolutely nothing to me. You mean absolutely nothing to me. All that sort of thing. I could care less mean to me, like logically speaking, means I don't like you, but you could be worse. There's no impact in that.
No.
I don't get when you would use it. When would you use I could care less?
They use it at the same time as we use I couldn't care less.
Oh, no.
Maybe it's because Americans are either really, really stupid or they're always so positive, being like, oh, it's all right, man. You've just, like, slept with my goddamn wife. I could care less, though. Like, no. If someone's cheating on you with your wife, you literally couldn't care less, and you will throw them under the bus.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. And I think I could care less is a very... It's really weird. Like, I wouldn't, if I was having an argument, that is the last thing I would think. I would say I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less is more right, because you're like, you already care so less, or you already care so little, that you just couldn't care more of that. You know what I mean? I could care less is like, yeah. It doesn't seem that you're that mad.
I just think it shows that Americans can't even speak their own language.
They do that with quite a lot of things, though. Like, does anyone know what Americans call horse riding?
Horseback riding.
Yes, what is that about? Why do you need to say that you're on the horse's back? I don't understand. Like,
well, what annoys me is that they call petrol gas. They call a liquid gas.
Yeah, that's a bit stupid.
They are low IQ.
Just to slander the whole of the US.
But... Yeah.
The majority of them.
Right. Yeah, that's my second one anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go for my most hated phrase in the world, because people put it into sentences or they say it like after something's happened, but it adds nothing to a situation. It's they're just meaningless words. So it is what it is. Like, what does it just tells you nothing. Like, it is what it is. Just don't say it then.
All I think of when I hear that is the meme of it is what it is. And then everyone in the background, it is what it is. But like a big chant of it.
I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know, when something maybe bad happens, like not something serious, but when something bad happens in life, you know, or, you know, like, for example, you're given an exam grade and you look at it and you can't change it. You just kind of say, it is what it is. You know what I mean? This is what I was given. You know, I'm just going to move on. I think that's maybe what it means. Or if
it's when you expected the outcome, or you were more likely to get that outcome. You're like, all right, it is what it is. I know I was going to do bad in something, but I can't change it. So
yeah, I think it's like that.
If you feel the way you do about it is what it is, how do you feel about that's life? Because they are sort of the same type of saying. Yeah. I want to know your opinions on that.
Yeah, that's annoying as well. Like, any phrases that just add nothing to a conversation, it's just like using words just for the sake of it. So it's like, no one has ever said to me, like, I don't know, if I'd opened an exam result, say, and someone had gone, oh, it is what it is. Like, that's never helped me in any way that they've said that. It's just like meaningless words. I'd rather they said like, oh, well, you can do better next time, or, oh, yeah, well done. But it is what it is. I would just be like, I could punch you right now.
I get what you mean by that. I do say that's life all the time to people. I think it's because I like to just give people sometimes a reality of like, you know what, that's life. You know what I mean? It's never easy. You're going to have some downfalls.
From first experience with Anna, yes, that's like one of her main phrases.
Yeah.
I can't do this assignment. That's life.
I think the only thing that we've not hit is, what are your annoying phrases, Rob?
I don't know. I was saying before we started, I quite like phrases because I think they give a lot of impact on a conversation sometimes. But I think some that are questionable, I can't really say on a podcast because they.
Yes. We did have a discussion about that. But I have one called Think, which I put on the list, which was Think Outside the Box. Now, I have a story behind this because I hate this phrase because it was used highly in my high school because we tried to break a world record at one point where the whole school of, we had about 3,000 of us in this high school, the whole school decided to break the world record of leapfrog. So we had a top, a white top that, you know, was hashtag attempt, you know, for like to attempt the world record. And it had Think Outside the Box. It had the game Noughts and Crosses with a note outside of the box saying Think Outside the Box, and I was like, you know, that scarred me. I mean, I think I still have that top, to be fair, at home, and from there I just hated that phrase because I was like, the way you express Think Outside the Box was just stupid. That's
the most important question for me. Did you manage to do the world record attempt for leapfrog?
I really don't know. I don't think so because it would have been our main like award if we saw that, if it did happen, but I don't think we did.
The only good achievement from Monk's Eaton High School.
This was a different high school. It was Kenton High School. It was my old one.
Even
my old one. Yeah. So Think Outside the Box for me is just, I mean, I sometimes don't get the phrase. That's all. Sometimes don't get it.
I find that a lot of people who say think outside the box to you don't actually want you to think outside the box. They might want you to think at the top of the box, you know, on the edges of the box, but they don't want you to go outside. Because I find that a lot of people who say think outside the box aren't thinking outside the box themselves. Otherwise, they'd say something more creative to you anyway. But they, like, you know, when you get told it at work and stuff, no one really wants you to come up with a creative approach to a solution to, like, a problem. They want you to come up with a solution, and they want you to do it fast and, you know, like,
sufficient,
cost effective. Yeah, efficient. They don't want you to think outside the box. They just want you to find a solution on the edge of that box that makes you look smart enough for them to keep you on, or whatever.
I think it was more teachers that said it in school, or snobby people. It's like, think outside the box, because I can't. But I'll say think outside the box to you to make me seem smart.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I feel like the only people who say think outside the box are people who can't be asked to think outside the box themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I'll make you come up with something for that.
I have to agree on that as well. And sometimes I think going off what Molly said is when they don't want you to think outside the box, you know, sometimes when they want a fast sort of solution, and they sometimes don't want you to come up with whatever's outside the box, whatever's creative approach that you're going to come forward with, because it's probably time consuming, or it'll just get dismissed sometimes, you feel like, because it's like, oh, what if we do this and this? And maybe they're too afraid to leave that box that they have in their comfort zone. And they're like, no, we'll stick to what we know. We're not going to anything new. You know what I mean? That's sometimes what it feels like. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the point of thinking outside the box if you're not going to leave your own little box?
I feel like me and Anna have got the same person in our heads currently. But yeah, it's sort of a futile phrase for me. So I sort of agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a bit naff when someone says that to you and you're like, well, you know, you do it. Mm-hmm. You do the thinking.
I remember not even annoying phrases. I know I'm a person who uses a lot of, like, I would say maybe annoying words, or they become annoying because I use them so much. So, like, I used to go through phases of, like, the word actually, or I used to say literally a lot, and I probably still do. Rob can probably vouch for that.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, like, you still say all that now.
Yeah, so everyone has their annoying little phrases that they use, and I think...
Well, you can probably name a few of mine as well. Maybe not suitable for a podcast, but
no, but you have a lot as well.
I think you get them a lot from your parents as well, or like your living environment, people that you hang around with in school. So it's just you bouncing off other people, and then obviously if you're living at home with your parents and they have a certain phrase, I mean, Anna will probably back it up. I'm literally my father.
Yes, you are. And I'm literally my mum, but not in a sense of looks, but the way we talk, I think me and my mum are very different.
No, you look a lot like your mum.
Yeah.
As well.
Well, sure. I think that's nearly all that we've got time for on the podcast this week. But let's just kind of round off with, I think, a kind of an appropriate phrase for the end of the podcast. All's well that ends well. How are we feeling about that one? Because I get, for me, it's just like, it is what it is.
I don't think I've
that's,
even...
That's again, more, it's more positive, it is what it is. It's like, it's gone well, so all's well that ends well. It is what it is. I think it's a lot more positive.
I'm not going to lie, I don't really understand. Every time someone says it to me, I'm like, I don't really, like, understand it, I would say.
That's my problem with it. It's just five words that mean nothing.
Yeah, a little. I mean, even now, like, the people can't see my face, but I'm, like, sitting there in pure, like, confusion of, like, I don't think I've ever heard that phrase because it's never been used towards me. But, from what you said, I mean... It does sound a bit more positive than it is what it is. It's almost like when you say it is what it is, it's like, oh, you know, this is what I've got. It sounds like you're kind of giving up, but that one sounds a bit better. It's like, all right, okay, it went well, I could do better, or something like that. But I think these phrases, we use them, but you kind of write in a sense of they don't really mean much. You know what I mean? They're just the words that they're just, I don't know, fill that little space or like put out a feeling that you're feeling. It's very odd that that's in our vocabulary. It's very odd that we say this in our daily life.
And well, on that note, for this podcast, it is what it is. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and we'll see you next time on the Weekly Dislike.